Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Kaiju Carnage. I am your host, Kyle the Kaiju Guy. So, what's up, everyone? I hope everybody's doing well today. Boy, howdy, do I have a movie for you guys. It's hard to put into words to describe the film that I just watched, because prior to doing this episode, I had never seen the film. I am talking today about the 1961 film Reptilicus. Now, I've owned the film digitally for a good while. A number of months ago, I was scrolling through Vudu, and they've constantly got like little $4.99 deals going on to where you can buy movies to be added to your digital library and all that kind of stuff. For those of you that don't know fully what Vudu is, you know, whenever you buy a Blu-ray or a DVD and it says there's a digital copy inside and it's got that little piece of paper, you can go to Vudu, put that little digital copy in there, and it will be on your Vudu from that point on. So then you have a physical copy as well as a digital copy, and you can download Vudu on like your tablets, your laptop, and stuff like that and everything. And then basically anywhere that you decide to go, if you have the Vudu app, or I think you could even just watch it on their website or whatever, you'll be able to watch your favorite movies or TV shows or things like that. And so, yeah, I have a pretty extensive Vudu library. I've got like nearly 400 films that I've either bought or gotten the digital copies to and things like that. And so, yeah, I was just scrolling through one day and I saw Reptilicus and I was like, okay, that looks like a movie that I could cover one day in the future. Let's go ahead and get it. It was $4.99. I bought it, moved it into my kaiju category, because you can categorize all of your films and all that kind of stuff, moved it into my kaiju category, and yeah, just never really messed with it since. And I had been planning on covering it. I had never seen the film yet, you know. And one of my listeners, Jason, messaged me one day saying that he had watched it, and he wanted me to, you know, he asked if I was going to cover it one day and all of that kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, I'm planning to one day. I honestly can't remember, looking back at our messages there, Jason, I can't remember if you enjoyed the film or not. And if you did, you may not care for this episode all that much. I mean, like, I'm not going to use it just as a bashing of the movie, but this film was something else. It was a doozy, I'll tell you that. It, there are so many adjectives that I could use to describe this movie, where it's bad, terrible, horrible, flat, dead in the water, you know? I mean, there's so many different ways that I can describe this movie. But with all of that said, there is a certain kind of charm about the film that even though you're watching this and you're acknowledging that you're just straight up watching a bad movie, you cannot take your eyes off of it. Like, I was watching it yesterday. I started it kind of late, and it's about an hour and a half long, give or take. And there was like maybe 20 minutes left in the film, but at this point in time, it was like midnight, 12:30, something like that. And I was like, man, I was tired. Emily is out of town. She went to Ohio to visit some family and everything. So it was just me, the dogs, and the cat chilling out here. Rocky, the red bone, he was watching the film with me because he does watch TV, if you believe that or not. I have lots of photos and a few little funny videos to prove it. But, yeah, he was watching it with me. And You know, it's like there was 20 minutes left of the film, and I was like, you know what? I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I want to go to bed. But at the same time, I was like, I want to finish this movie. So I went on ahead and just turned it off, went to bed, and then turned around and woke back up at like 5:45 this morning, and immediately turned it back on and finished it and all that. And yeah, like it's one of those deals to where, like I said, like as I'm watching it, I'm just acknowledging like, wow, this is bad. This is a bad movie. But also, like I said, the entire time I was watching it, it kept my attention, and I couldn't turn it off to the point to where I'm sleepy, like there's no tomorrow, and wanted to go to bed. But then I was also like, I want to knock this out. I want to finish this movie. And so I finished it this morning. And yeah. So that's my initial thoughts on the movie, is that it's bad. I know it's bad. Virtually everybody that's watched it probably knows that it's bad. I don't think the opinion exists for somebody to just sit there and be, oh, Reptilicus? Oh, yeah, that's a great movie. Like, you know, I don't think that opinion is out there. But anybody that watches it, like, it does have something about it that makes me, after I watched it, I was just like, it was enjoyable. Like, I don't know how to explain it. You're watching a train wreck. And but whatever, it is what it is. So I've got a little bit of information for you guys about the film and all of that, and I'm going to start out by saying that there are actually three different cuts of this movie. I only watched the Americanized version because I do not own or have access to, to my knowledge, I do not have access to the Danish version of Reptilicus, which is the original version. And there is another version that, to my knowledge, has never actually been released because the American production company called AIP that distributed the film over here in the States pretty much deemed that cut of the film to be unwatchable. Like, well, I can't remember exactly what adjective they used or whatever. It's that it was unwatchable or like I got, man, I'm blank spacing. Like, I can't remember. I don't know. But whatever. Yeah, they pretty much deemed it as, nope, this is no good, and so they re-edited and recut the film and released it as the Americanized version that we have, and which is the version that I watched. And I would like to see the Danish version because there are some differences, like not just editing-wise and all of that, but there's also like special effects differences and all of that that I would like to see. But from everything that I've seen, the Danish version is just as terrible as the American version. But see, that lets you know right there. That's how the power of this movie, to where I just watched this and I'm like, man, that was terrible, but I enjoyed it. And to know that there's another cut of it, a Danish cut of it out there, that anyone who's seen it will swear up and down it's just as bad as the one that I just watched. And I'm just like, I've got to see that. You know, like, so yeah, let's jump into it. Reptilicus 1961. So, first of all, this is the only Danish big monster movie that has ever been made. And it came out in 1961. The Danish version came out in 1961. The Americanized version was did not get released until 1962, I believe. And so this was right whenever the big kaiju boom was going to be getting underway, of like the 60s and the 70s, with the Showa era Godzilla films, as well as like the Gamera films and all of that kind of stuff. This was around the time that Toho would do their first crossover kaiju film. being King Kong versus Godzilla. So things were just fixing to get started with the big kaiju boom and all of that. And so this film, like, whether or not this film, like, really wanted to capitalize on just the success of Godzilla, King Kong, the Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, things like that. Whether or not this film came about because of all of that, I really don't know. I couldn't find anything that stated that it did, but I'd like to think that that's how this film ended up coming about, to where it's like, you know, they basically looked at it, it was like, oh, well, giant monster movies are starting to be kind of popular, so let's try to make us a giant monster movie and all of that. So, the Americanized version was done by an individual by the name of Sidney Pink. He was an American producer that was born in Pennsylvania. He was the director of the American version. And the reason how, you know, he's an American producer, he was born in Pennsylvania, and you're probably sitting there wondering how in the world did he end up in Denmark. The reason why is because, according to what I read, Hollywood was having union problems at that point in time. And it was making it very, very difficult for independent producers to actually get work, because the union was just causing all kinds of issues with what they were allowing to do and to be done and all of that kind of stuff. So he moved his entire operation to Denmark. And after he gets to Denmark, he basically is like, let's try our hand at a giant monster film. And so Reptilicus ended up being that project that they worked on. Now, the director of the original Danish version was an individual by the name of Paul Bang. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. And he was essentially going to direct the Danish version, which was going to be the original version. And then after that, they were essentially going to remake the movie. Like, shoot it again. Like, pretty much exactly the same actors and all of that kind of stuff, but they were going to do it in English under the direction of Sidney Pink. And because all the actors that was involved, with the exception of one actress, all of the actors involved were able to speak English. And so they were just basically like, okay, we'll shoot the film in our native language, and then when we go to do the Americanized version, we'll just redo it again in English and all of that. And so that's how two of the cuts of the film ended up coming about. Now, there was some drama that went down behind the scenes. There was an individual, I believe how you pronounce his name is Ib Melchior, and I believe he was a writer for the film. He was going to assist Sidney Pink in a way of directing the Americanized version. But Sidney, you know, I don't really know why. If you would think that maybe it was just ego, or maybe he was like, I can just do this on my own, I don't need any help, or something like that. He pretty much, whenever it came time to shoot the Americanized version of the film, he told Ib to basically just sit out. You're done. You're through. I don't need your assistance, kind of thing. Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because Sidney didn't speak a lick of Danish. And I don't know what I was fixing to say. But, so I apologize for that. But, anywho, like, can you imagine the senselessness of that? The silliness. That you don't speak a lick of Danish, and you're in Denmark. The crew of the movie is Danish. The cast of the movie is Danish. Literally everything about the film is Danish. You have a guy sitting right next to you to where, like, this guy is here to help you, speaks Danish. And he essentially was like, nope, I don't need your help. Now, mind you, most of the crew and the actors and all of that could speak English, so it wasn't necessarily a massive language barrier to try and overcome. But it's still, oh boy, it's silly. Now, there's one character in the movie, if it lets you know what type of film this is, he really made it hard to figure out what the heck was the tone that they were going with in this movie. The movie starts out well enough. Like, whenever I started to watch the film, I looked it up on IMDb and all of that, and it has like a whopping 3.1 on IMDb. Extremely low critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. Extremely low audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, just not a very well-received film at all. And so I was like, okay, looks like I'm in for something. But, I never let the opinions of others affect how I view a movie. I have watched films going in, knowing that it was just panned by audiences and critics and everything like that, and I've come out enjoying it, and vice versa. I've seen movies that were praised by the general mass audience and critics and walked out going, maybe there's something wrong with me because I thought that movie was trash. And and so I saw the ratings that the film had and all that, and I was like, okay, looks like I'm in for a fun ride. Let's see what we got here. And the movie starts out, and it started out well enough. It seems like it's kind of serious in tone, wastes no time to really get the plot rolling and letting you know what's going on, the discovery of the giant monster and all of that kind of stuff. It all happens very, very quickly. And so I was sucked in pretty quick. But then an individual walks in. And it is a very successful Danish comedian by the name of Dirk Passer. And he was brought into this movie for the sole purpose of there being comic relief in the film. The only problem is that at the beginning of the movie, you pretty much set up that you're trying to make a serious film. And then only about 20 minutes into the movie enters the comic relief. And the comic style that they decided to go with this movie is very over the top slash cartoony. Like, there's just to give you guys an example, is that there is a scene where Dirk, the comedian, is walking past an aquarium, and there's an electric eel inside of it. And so he sees it and is just kind of sitting there like, oh, okay. He makes some kind of comment. It was a joke that missed the mark. Let's say that. And he comes back by it later, and I guess he wants to see how electric the electric eel is. And so, like, he just sticks like the tips of his fingers into the water, and he starts hollering, because he's being shocked because his hand is in the water. And just to give you guys an idea of the comedy style that this guy is that while he's sitting there hollering and all of that kind of stuff and flailing around, he starts dancing. It's very brief, but he does like a little dance number. And then something happens, catches his attention. He sees what he believes is Reptilicus, the monster, beginning to stir, and he was incorrect at that point in time. And he just yells, "Mom!" and then turns around and runs away. And you know what they're going for, you know what they're trying to do, but at the same time, it's like it fell pretty flat. Now, this is a good segue into talking about the differences between the Danish version and the American version, and I'm getting to the different cut, that third cut that I mentioned earlier. But there's some minor differences between the two cuts. One thing in particular was that they tried to up that comedy relief a bit, and out of nowhere, seemingly, because I haven't seen the Danish version of the film, but boy, howdy do I want to. Like, out of nowhere, Dirk, like, according to some of the images that I saw and stuff like that, he is around some kids, some children, and there's just a little singing number. Him singing, dancing, the kids laughing, having a good time and everything, and it's just like, you hear about that and you're like, what kind of movie am I watching? Is this supposed to be a serious, like, monster on the loose, destroying everything kind of movie, or is this a, song and dance man, friends with all the children and all that kind of stuff? And like at a certain point in the movie, like, he's brought in to be the comic relief, but then at a certain point in the movie, he's never seen again. Like, he's only in like the first half of the film. And it's like, why even have him in to begin with, But okay, all right. But now, some of the differences that's in the American version versus the original Danish version is it's some very minor stuff. Some of the sound effects are a little different. Some of the military stuff are a little different. Like, there were some scenes, like, whenever the military is trying to take on Reptilicus and all of that in the American version, so I've read, there was tanks, like army tanks and stuff like that, that was present to help fight. In the Danish version, the tanks are absent. One of the major differences that's in the Danish version that is not present in the American version is an ability of Reptilicus, in which you watch the American version and you see Reptilicus and you see the design and you see that he has on his sides something that looks very similar to wings, but they're kind of folded down, and so you're like, what the heck is that? Like, you're pretty sure it's wings, but he's not using them. Well, turns out they were wings, because in the Danish version there are scenes of Reptilicus flying. Now, there are some other differences, which were, like, in the Danish version, Reptilicus is also viewed as like an amphibious monster, that it can get along just fine underwater and everything, whereas in the American version, it's stated numerous times that, he's got to come up for air eventually. One difference that I read, I'm not able to confirm this, like I said, because I have not seen the Danish version, but one difference that there was is that there is a scene where Reptilicus is underwater. In the Danish version, there are no bubbles coming out of his mouth, because it's implied that he doesn't need to breathe underwater. Whether he has gills or whatever, he can survive underwater. In the Americanized version, bubbles are seen coming out of his mouth, basically meaning he's just holding his breath. But it was a very weird thing to put in there, because it's like, oh, he just needs to hold his breath, and he's got to come up for air eventually, and so that's whenever we'll get him. But when they find him underwater, he's sleeping. So it makes you like, why even put in there that he's not aquatic and that he's got to come up for air eventually and all that, if, like, you're literally going to show a scene of him sleeping at the bottom of the ocean? Like, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Now, the reason I say there is a third cut of this film that exists is because whenever Sydney Pink made his version of the film and pretty much gave it to AIP, and they saw it, they deemed it unwatchable. They did not view it as good. He had essentially shot the film again with the same actors and all that that could speak English. The only problem is AIP believed that because of the Danish accents, that American audiences would have just flat out laughed at the film. They wouldn't have been able to take it seriously because they were not going to be used to hearing that type of accent. So immediately they were like, we need to redub this film. And so they did. They brought in voice actors and dubbed over the movie so that the actors had more of an American accent that the audience would be able to relate to a little bit better. Not only did they do that, but they turned around and just recut a lot of the film, edited certain things out, rearranged certain things, changed music cues, and all of that kind of stuff. Whenever Sidney Pink found out about it, he was furious because he's like, y'all hired me to do a job. I directed my version of the movie. I gave it back to y'all, and y'all essentially said, nope, this is no good, and y'all redid the movie anyway. He actually sued AIP over this, and the lawsuit was, you know, going how it was going to go. And I guess in his defense, he decided to show some other executives or some kind of bigwigs his cut of the movie so he could be like, look at what they did to my movie. Look how they butchered my movie. And whenever his version was watched, he was highly advised by anyone and everyone that watched it, you might want to drop this lawsuit there, buddy. Like, because they were basically like, trust me, AIP made this a better film. You do not need to pursue this to have this be the version that's going to be released. And he did. He ended up dropping the lawsuit and everything. There was a novelization to the film that was released, and boy, howdy, do I want it. I want to read it. Me and Jason talked about it. Like, you know, he would like to read it. The only problem is to find it online, you're going to pay anywhere between like the $50 to $65 range to get this book. And part of me sits there and be like, that's not worth it. I'm not doing it. I don't want to pay $50 for a book that came out in 1961. But at the same time, you start reading and finding out about it, and little kids plug your ears. Part of the reason why the novel didn't hit off very well and has never really been featured for a reprint or anything like that is because the author of the novelization by the name of Dean Owen put a lot of sexual overtones and just sexual stuff in the book. And the makers of the film were not thrilled because he took it upon himself to put all of that to where basically he turned it into a very sexualized monster movie that he just pulled out of nowhere and was like, I'm throwing this in there. And yeah, it was something. I want to read that book, y'all. Like, I cannot express in words how much I want to read that book. Like, it's one of those things. Like, I love controversy. I love whenever a movie comes out or a book comes out and they're like, this is extremely controversial. How dare you do something like this or whatever. That immediately puts it on my list as far as I'm concerned. No matter what it really deals with or whatever. Like, well, I want to check that out. I want to see what the big deal is about. And so, yeah, I want to read this book. But I'm having a hard time justifying paying $50 to $65 for a copy of this book. But let me tell you, with each passing day, it's getting a tad bit more convincing to drop that amount of money on that book. So, just throwing that out there. There was also a comic that was done on Reptilicus. Now, from what I read, the first two issues were titled Reptilicus. Did not fare very well, and it got canceled. After the copyrights expired for it and everything, it was retitled as Reptisaurus. And they started publishing the comics again, this time lasting until issue number 8 before it was canceled. Once again, Reptisaurus actually guest starred, from what I read, in the Gorgo comic book series whenever that comic popped up because of the Gorgo film that came out. Now, another thing that I read, I couldn't really find anything concrete to confirm this. Sidney Pink wanted to make a direct sequel to Reptilicus. This came about in like the late 90s to early 2000s and he wanted to try and piggyback off of the fact that the 1998 Godzilla film had just come out. And from what I gather, he was actually working on it. He was trying to, like, put together a script and a story and all that kind of stuff, and he was going to try to get it off of the ground, but unfortunately he passed away in the early 2000s. I believe it was 2001 whenever he passed away. So unless someone else decides to take up that mantle, we're never going to get to see his sequel to Reptilicus like he wanted. So, all right, guys. That's pretty much all I've got for Reptilicus. This was a fun ride. It's a terrible movie, but it was a fun ride. Terrible but enjoyable film. It's hard to describe what I just witnessed. Like, I want to recommend it to people. To be like, watch this movie. Check it out. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know if I want to put other people through this film. Because if you don't view it like me, to where, like, it's a beautiful train wreck that you just can't stop watching, you might very well might watch this film and just be like, oh my God, like, this was terrible. The monster itself, Reptilicus, you could tell they did not put a whole lot of effort into making the puppet for this film. The body itself doesn't look terrible. Like, the scales, I remember when I first saw it and I saw the scales. The scales, I thought, looked very, very good. The face, not so much. A lot of the miniatures that were used, like the small buildings and things like that. Like, you can tell, it's not a whole lot of detail or hard work went into the miniatures or the puppet. I'll just say that. Fun fact, just there's a scene that whenever, it's not really a fun fact, it's more of an observation that is not really related to the film or anything like that, but whenever the film was playing, and there's a part where Reptilicus goes, he's at a beach, and he goes to rise out of the water, and you see this girl, she's in a bikini, and she's like doing her makeup or something like that at the beach. Didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But anywho, the actress, I didn't bother digging to see who she was or anything like that. Striking resemblance to Lana Del Rey. So much so that I was sitting there watching it, and whenever she popped up, I was like, huh? Like, you know, because I mean, she just, I don't know, and I might be off in that, you know. Some other people might watch it and be like, oh, I don't think so. And all that kind of stuff. I don't know what you were looking at or whatever. But yeah, I thought Lana Del Rey had a doppelganger from the 60s. And she's in Reptilicus. So I'm just throwing that out there. But yeah, anywho, this movie was, it was something. It was truly something. I'm going to try my best to try and find the Danish version of the movie. Hope it has subtitles. If it doesn't have subtitles, oh well. It's not going to be the first foreign film that I've watched without subtitles, without an English dialogue or anything like that. And I've literally had to try and piece together what I was trying to, what I was watching here and all of that, you know. So that's a fun little game to play, by the way. Just pick a foreign film with no subtitles and no, and just watch it and be like, try to figure out what's going on. Like, it's a fun little game that I like to play. But yeah, guys, that does it for Reptilicus. This movie was something else. it was truly something else. And that's all I've got to say about that. So, all right, guys, I'm going to throw you guys a bone. A week from today, on the next episode of Kaiju Carnage, I'm going to be talking about the Netflix animated series Pacific Rim The Black. Now, I'm going to be talking about the series as a whole, both seasons combined. I'm not going to separate it into two separate episodes or anything. I'm just going to talk about it as a whole because the series was canceled after season two. And so we're not getting any more of it, which is a shame. You know, I mean, yeah, you know, I say it's a shame. I have a kind of like a love-hate relationship with Pacific Rim The Black. I think a lot of stuff Pacific Rim related has just really gone downhill since the original. I don't feel that anything has lived up to what was created with the original. That's just my opinion on the matter. But yeah, I'm going to be talking about Pacific Rim, The Black. Now, Monday, and just like, you know, today's Saturday, so not tomorrow, but the next day, I'm going to be covering Blackfish, which is the documentary about the treatment of orcas at SeaWorld and all of that. That's a request that I'm going to be doing for Kaijurama. And yeah, that's basically what I'm going to be doing Monday. And then Wednesday will be the weekly Kaiju Havoc. And then Saturday will be Pacific Rim, The Black. And then that Monday for Kaijurama, I don't know. I'm thinking I'm really going to try and go see The Flash sometime this weekend. Like, I had kind of an opportunity to go yesterday, but I still had some other things that was going on, so I decided to put it off. So, I mean, you know, Emily's gone. It's just me and the dogs. You know, I've got all the time in the world between Saturday, Sunday, and Monday before I got to go back to work. Surely I can make enough time for 2 hours to go see The Flash. I just don't care for going to the theater anymore, guys. I'm not going to lie. Not going to lie. Whenever COVID hit, especially whenever Warner Brothers decided they were going to release their entire library on HBO Max, that spoiled me. That spoiled me tremendously. And it's something that to this day I haven't been able to recover from. I've gone and seen a few films in theaters since then. I went and watched Black Adam. I've seen a few films, like, you know, just anniversary films, like the original Jurassic Park, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the extended editions and all of that. So, like, I still go to the theater for certain things, but it's like, man, like, I don't know, y'all. It's like, with The Flash, like, I want to go see it, but at the same time, it's like, man, I don't want to go to the theater. Like, can I just pay for that junk, like a one-time purchase, and just watch it at home on my regular TV? The big screen just doesn't really, it's not a selling point for me. It's just not. And, you know, I've never seen an IMAX showing of anything. I honestly don't view that would change the experience for me all that much. It's just like, you know, whatever. It's the same movie, just with a louder volume and on a bigger screen. And I'm just, you know, whatever. Nothing beats being in the comfort of my own home, as far as I'm concerned. I can pause it whenever I want. I can go get me something to drink, something to eat whenever I want or whatever. If I want to take a smoke break, I can take a smoke break, you know, something like that. Whereas in the theater, they're going to charge you an arm and a leg, and once it starts, that's it. You better pay attention or you've missed it, you know? So, I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of going to the movie theaters anymore. But I will be trying to go see The Flash sometime. And if I don't, you guys know that that's the reason why. Because I just do not like, I'm a very anti-public kind of guy. Like, you know, I don't like being around people. You know, I just don't. Emily get, you know, like, Emily wants to go out because she's a social butterfly and she wants to go out and do certain things and all that. And I'm just like, is there going to be people there? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, I don't want to go, you know? And she's like, Cal, it's your own family. Like, we got to go. And I'm like, I don't want to go, you know? Like, I don't care for family gatherings, family functions or anything like that. Like, as far as I'm concerned, you know, three's a crowd. That's just my opinion. But yeah, whatever. So hopefully Monday I might be able to share with you guys, not Monday, the following Monday, I might be able to share with you guys what I thought about The Flash, maybe give a review on it and all of that kind of stuff. I've already seen spoilers galore on TikTok. Well, of course, spoilers don't mean anything to me. I've seen a lot of the cameos. I've seen a lot of the scenes and all of that kind of stuff. I've seen how god awful it seems that the CGI is in that film. Well, I don't know. There's some scenes that I've seen to where I'm like, that looks fantastic. And then there's other ones that I've seen where I'm like, that looks pretty bad. Like PlayStation 2 level CGI. But whatever. You know, I might talk about it. I haven't decided yet. But alrighty, guys. Thank y'all. Sorry for rambling there at the end. You know how I can go down the rabbit hole. So check me out on all of my social medias. On Facebook, I'm Kaiju Carnage, Godzilla / King Kong Podcast. I have a Godzilla Ultima fan page. And on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, I am Cal, the Kaiju Guy. So alrighty, guys. Thank you all so much. Don't forget, Monday, I'm covering Blackfish. Then that Wednesday is the weekly Kaiju Havoc. And next Saturday is going to be Pacific Rim, The Black, We will catch you all then. This is Cal the Kaiju Guy signing out.